answering to those thoughts that we had just shared. But as they move on up out of Egypt, and it's always strike me reading those scriptures, that in that deliverance, the scriptures regard it as they being delivered up out of Egypt. Egypt is not a nice place. Brother Milton generally says that it's a reflection of this world with all its atrocities and sin. It is nothing for us to be associated with. Egypt, this world, is a place where sin and Satan rage and reigns, and the believer ought to be overcomers. And so we must demonstrate this in our lives. So as we move on, Pharaoh said, but hold on, they're gone. But I don't have anybody to work for me to hew all those stones and to build all those pyramids. And he set out in pursuit of them. He gathered his army together and he said, I will pursue them. I will overtake them. I will bring them back into slavery. What a statement of affront when it was by a great and mighty hand that they were delivered. How could Pharaoh overcome that? And so Pharaoh and his armies pursued. And they pursued and the Israelites looked around. And they saw the armies of the wicked coming after them. And they cried out to Moses. By the way, this murmuring group who murmur night and day and day and night and continue. This time they didn't murmur. What they did was to cry out. Trouble was near. And they cried out to Moses. And this great leader approached the greater leader. He approached him for an answer. And oh, the Lord answered. And he said in verse 13 of that chapter, stand still. And many times we have to pause. We have to stand still. It is that time that our eyes are open to the deliverance that was always there. Remember that the Lord has done it already. It is for us to come into the good thereof. Let's be patient, beloved. Let's be patient as we depend on him. And so the word was stand still. Stand still, Moses. Tell the people to stand still. And then he went on in verse 14 and he says, the Lord will fight for you. Not only stand still, but the Lord will fight for you. And that, I think, was music to their ears. But yet we read that there was protection day and night. And can you imagine that protection? Call it the armies of the living God, as if you may. But the cloud moved from in front and it went behind and it separated the armies of Pharaoh from the children of Israel. And that now which was light to God's people was darkness to those who pursued. And man in his sin dwells in darkness and can only be liberated by the power of Jesus Christ through the gospel. And in this year of celebration, never forget our responsibility to preach the word. And so, in verse 19, the Lord stood between them and the armies. And that day, the Lord wrought a victory that could never have been achieved by no other person. Because Pharaoh and his army pursued. Yea, the Lord instructed Moses to hold out thy rod. And the waters of the Red Sea were divided. And by the way, this is another portion of scriptures that those naysayers and those who object the word of God, because they can't understand it, because the things of God are only taught and understood by the Spirit of God. And because they don't have the Spirit of God, they object even to that which they don't understand. I believe that's a gross display of ignorance. They don't understand it. So they object to it. But we who have been saved by grace, we who have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, embrace this truth that the Israelites passed through the Red Sea on dry land. But yet when Pharaoh and his armies pursued, the Lord caused that their chariots stuck in the mud and their wheels fall off, and they cry out and said, the God of Israel is fighting against us. Let us turn back. But there was no escape, because in obedience to God's word, Moses once again held out his rod and the waters came again. And in the morning, on the shores of the Red Sea, the bodies of Pharaoh and his army were afloat, totally destroyed. The Lord, who did that for Israel, is doing the same for us today. For he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let us enter, beloved, in the preciousness of the thought of redemption. And you know, an act like this triggers chapter 15. Yea, the song of the redeemed, a song of thanksgiving. You know, I shared with my dear wife, and I asked her, and she said to me, that there is a difference between thanksgiving and praise. Here we have the Lord did something, and it caused an act of response to that which the Lord has done, and that's thanksgiving. So we give the Lord thanks because he has provided for us the lunch money for the children that we didn't have this morning. We give the Lord thanks because he has provided an opportunity for our children to go to school and to gain an education. And when nobody else can get a job, we prayed and we asked the Lord, and the Lord provided a job for them. And in speaking with a young brother recently who recently got a job, and I said to him, thanks be to God, but the service of God must be better served because he has provided for you a job. And how many of us view our jobs as provided directly by God so that his service will be enhanced? And these great companies of this land, yea, Brother Howard NCB and BNS and Sagicor, and all of these companies that are doing so well, I have one statement. God has chosen to bless these companies because his saints are employed in them. And so that which the Lord has provided must be used for his service in this scene. And so we give thanks for what he has done. But notice, beloved, that the theme for the conference is praise the Lord. So it brings in now another thought. And my wife said to me that praise, therefore then, is not a response in relation to what he has done, but praise is a response as to who he is. And that is why the theme said, praise the Lord. Yea, we give him thanks for Ocean View. We give him thanks for the ministry of this place. And even when the storms, don't remember, Brother Milton, which one of them was, devastated this place. But yet it resulted in a brand new chapel, which is 4 times wider, better, and more spacious than the one before. And we raise our hands and we say, praise God for the storms. There was a little cottage there called the Carrington's Cottage. And when I passed through after the storm, the only thing that I saw remaining was a toilet bowl. Everything was gone. But yet, despite that, we raise our hands and we say, praise the Lord. Yeah, because it is now not what he has done, but we can praise him because of who he is.